But if you would just stand just a moment, we'll read a few verses here just to give our full attention. I've said it before, some of you, you can get your last stretch in before you take a nap if you need to. And maybe somebody else can preach the message to you. And if they preach it to you, it'll probably be much shorter than I do. So you might like the highlights of that, you know. But in John chapter 1, I'm going to preach something. I'm going to call it the Sons of Grace. The Sons of Grace. But in John chapter 1, in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Now, if you're underlying your Bible, you ought to think about that. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Preacher friend, I know Brother Clemens, he was pastor in North Dakota. He got saved several months ago. He said, I gave my testimony when I preached at the Minsk, conference in Detroit. He said it just really, it kept ringing in his ears, and he got saved. But I tell you, I've known that brother before, but when he came and told me he had gotten saved, he was lit up like a Christmas tree. Because you can see his life, what I'm trying to tell you is that his life is the light of men. You know, you can be around certain believers, and you just see the light of Christ in them. That's what it's really all about, you know. And so, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Yes, sir, brother, that's good news. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bear witness. Yeah, you can shout any time you want to. I mean, it's just good stuff. John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. I would love to have been there to hear John say that. You know, here he is, all eyes are over him like they think he's somebody. But he's saying, no, he that cometh after me is before me. where are we at here? In verse 16, of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Father, thank you so much for loving us all. Thank you for creating us all. I pray that every son of grace would be encouraged today. And those who are not sons of grace could become one today. In Jesus' name, I ask this all. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing. In verse number 12, we see the Bible talks about the coming of Son of God. And that's where we get the Son of the thought. Because, of course, you're saved by grace. You know, you could say the Son of God, but I want to look at it from the grace aspect. Because, again, grace is undeserved, kindness, or favor. And it's just great to know God saves us because He wanted to. He made us because He wanted to. He's willing to forgive us because He wants to. He draws us because He wants to. I don't understand it all, but He gives us a choice because He wanted to give us a choice whether or not we receive Him or not. But if you're taking notes either mentally or physically, the first thing I want you to notice, number one, is the birth of sons. The birth of sons. Now, verse 12, the Word of God says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So to be a son of God, to be birthed as a son of God, is very simple. He said you receive Him. When you receive Him as the Lord, you receive Him as the Savior. To receive Him really means to receive Him as He is. You know, in John chapter 3, the Bible talks about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And when the people had begin to die because of their sin against God, God made a way of escape. He told Moses to make a brazen serpent and put it on the pole. And he said, whoever looked to that pole would live. And they just had to recognize, number one, they were bit. Number two, it was their fault they were bit. And they would have to say, there's the answer. That brazen serpent on the pole is the answer to my redemption. And as they would turn to look, they would live. You know, and as we receive Him, we turn from any way of redemption, any way of salvation, any way, we just read that Jesus is life, anything that we think life is, and receive Him as life itself, because you need salvation because we're dead in trespasses and sins, and you receive Him as life. Isn't it amazing just looking to Jesus? That's where the life is, you know. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. But again, that repentance, that turning, that changing, wait, I am dying in my sin. Jesus is the answer. I receive Him as the answer. And that turning, that forgiveness, that is what as many as receive Him see no limitations. It doesn't say as many of a certain background receive Him, but as many as receive Him. Not as many as were brought up in a church home receive Him. Not as many as were in the streets receive Him, but as many as receive Him. No limitation. The birth of sons is for all who receive Him. It said that He gave them power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on His name. And here He goes a little further so we don't miss this. We're born not of blood. So you don't get saved, it doesn't come down through the bloodline. I wish that since my wife and I got saved, all our children were supernaturally saved. But no, they didn't come through the blood. They got a choice to make. And they have to receive Him just like anybody else has to receive Him. And your children the same. It's not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. It's not, you know, I want to be saved. I'm going to be a Christian. No matter, I'm just determined. I'm looking at everybody else. And I just think Christianity is the best way to live. And so I'm going to live like Jesus lived. It's not a will of the flesh. It didn't work that way. Many have tried that. And that's why many people are discouraged. Because it looks right. And, you know, anybody like me love? So love's a good idea, right? Anybody, how many people like people to tell you the truth all the time? Yeah. Well, I guess not if you look in the night. Hey, am I fat? So you might not want to tell you the truth then. But in most situations, you want people to tell you the truth. You like people to be honest with you. Those are characteristics of Jesus Christ, you know. How many would you like to have, if you were dying, somebody give you life? Everything in the Bible, every Bible principle we see in Jesus Christ is really a good way to live. But you just can't determine, I'm going to live that way and do it. That's what the law is about. Because the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Because a lot of things happen with people. We determine we're going to live this way. And then we find out, man, we can't do it without Christ. We can't do it without the Spirit. And we do one of two things. We either turn to God through the Spirit, or we determine, well, that's just not the right way. Which both are, that's a way of excusing ourselves to live that certain way. But when we're not born in the will of the flesh, and it says, nor the will of man. So it's not my flesh, and it's not a religious group determining it either. Because that would be the will of man. You know, you don't come to me and say, no, I want to be born again. And I say, well, boom, you're born again. It's not the will of man. It's not, man does not establish principles and precepts by which a person is born again. That's what the trappings of religion are all about. Because some think it's just through the blood. I've witnessed people for years. Well, I've been a Christian all my life. My parents were Christians. Well, unfortunately, that's not the way it goes. Or some say, well, I determined I was going to be one at this point in time in my life. And other people say, well, the church I go to, you know, are you born again? Well, I'm this group. I'm Baptist. I'm Catholic. I'm Pentecostal. I'm this. That's the will. That's the will of man. They're looking toward an establishment by a collective body of men for their birth. And God says, no, it's none of that. It says, but of God. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Anybody born again? You happy about it? Okay. The Bible says you're born of God. Now think about that, what that means. You're born of God. That should mean something. Think about what you know about God. We have a lot of things we don't know about God. But think about what they actually do know about God. Somebody help me. Tell me something you know about God. Blair? So you're born of love.
Most High.
So you're born of the Most High. What else do we know about God? So you're born of all powerful. So he's grace. You're born of grace. He's faithful. You're born of someone faithful. What else? He's almighty. He's born of someone almighty. What else? Pardon me? Living. Amen. So praise God. I'm not going to be there. You're born of the living God. What else? He's perfect. You're born of perfect. He's kind. And he's, praise God for that. One of my favorite verses, he's kind of unthankful and the evil. That's why he got me. He's all powerful. You're born of that. He's born. That's what you. That's what, everything we said. You're born of that. You're born of love. You're born of grace. You're born of almighty kindness. Did you say something? Okay. All powerful, faithful. Does it sound like that's a pretty good pedigree? You know that? I had to use pedigree. Is not the right word, is it? What's the word? Pedigree means animals, isn't it? I'm not sure, but pretty good heritage. How's that? Pretty good heritage. And I know there's a word you say with people. But it doesn't matter. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, you're born of God. See, I want you to keep thinking about that, because it's not. You're not born of the Baptist church. You're not born of any church. You're born of God. Because so often, isn't it amazing how we find our value in what we do based on sometimes the group we associated with? But that's not who we're born of. We're born of. If you're born again, you're born of God. And that should be the means by which you represent in the world. You're born of God. The birth of sons is a pretty good thing. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Same with the concept here. It was just salvation, the work of God. John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You want to have some works that are lasting, that mean something? This is how you do it. This is Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the birth takes place by believing. Everything of lasting value takes place by believing. Believing on him. Not just believing any old thing, but believing on him. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the one that those of us that are saved, the one that you're birthed by, you're born of God. Yeah, you ought to stop and next time before you start today, okay, before something, I'm born of God. Okay, so, number one, my Father is love. My Father is almighty. it's great when your Father's almighty. He's all powerful. He's faithful. You know, I have some good memories with my children, but there's times I haven't always been a perfectly walking in the line of faith in each one of those. And any time there is, that's the only negative experiences that I've caused in my family, those times when I've fluctuated in my faith. But God doesn't fluctuate. He's always faithful. And because he's living, there's never going to be a time when his faith or power ends. And so birth of sons is a pretty good thing. The sons of grace, because we're born by grace, we are people that are born again simply by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two back in our text, the father of sons. And we don't have to spend a lot of time here because we pretty much said a lot about the father, but the father of sons. In verse number 14, it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now it tells us, of course, the Word, we understand that was the Lord Jesus Christ come in the flesh. But it says the Lord Jesus Christ, part of his glory was that he represented the Father. And the Father, what he says, the realization or the proof of the fact or the representation of Jesus Christ of the Father is that the life of Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. So we have a Father that manifests his glory in grace and truth. You know, how religion really messes us up sometimes. And I've said for years, religion sends people to hell. It establishes godly parameters other than that which is biblical. If you endeavor to be a godly person, your life should be filled with two things: grace and truth. These are the two characteristics by which the Bible tells of Jesus Christ, and these two characteristics are that by which it showed and proved that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. People through the years, since I was athletic, they think that my children would naturally be athletic. In their mind, that means that there is reflection of me. But the other things, like the other day, I guess Micah was in the gym with the older boys, and I think it was Lori. We determined after a day and a half, me and Sam were trying to remember her name. Lori, she saw Micah, and somewhere in the gym, she said, "I think that's one of the Harpers. I'm just not sure." But then she said, the moment he smiled, she knew, yep, that's one of them. And because that, to her, that's something we all uniquely have in common, you know. And what the Bible tells about Jesus Christ here, that the proof of the fact that he really was the Son of God, the only begotten God, is that his life was filled with grace and truth. And so for you and our Father, when you think about him, you should think about two things: grace and truth. Well, you think about many things, really, in the searchable riches of Christ. But the simplest depiction of God, he's full of grace and truth. So if you and I want to be godly, because God sent his Son into the world to manifest himself to a world, and Jesus, to every person he came in contact with, he manifested grace and truth. So you and I, if we want to be representative of God, every person we come in contact, we need to manifest two characteristics: grace and truth. And then people will realize, I know who their Father is because of the grace and truth. Amen. But it's amazing. See, without that, though, think about it. If we believe that, there'd be no bitterness. There'd be no frustrating with each other. Because, Brother David, if I get mad for some reason, I just come tell you off, just, you know, because I just want to. He said, Brother Harper or Pastor or Reiner, why'd you talk to me like that? Because I can, brother. I just wanted to. He can take one of these ways. He can say, man, that hypocrite, I can't believe he would do that. Especially, he did it right in front of the church for everybody. He embarrassed me in front of my daughter. How dare he treat me such a way? Or he could minister some grace. He could say what a terrible, horrible thing that happened. Or he could say, you know what, I got a chance to be like my Father, and I can show some grace. And everything, they're endless. That means every situation is a situation to show forth the Father, you know. And imagine, I know, like in a... No, thank you, I won't use that illustration. But so the Father of sons is a Father full of grace and truth. Number three, now here's the education of sons. The education of sons. The Father teaches his children. And it says, and John, he was the first one sent, and John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So John was sent to prepare us to receive the Father's Son. You know, the education of life is preparing us to receive the Father's Son, receive Christ. You know why you're here today, really? Because this is one day of a whole week. This day is meant to hope to prepare you to receive instruction from the Father and His Son throughout the rest of the week. It's not... That's really what it's about, because the best education you ever have... Catch is from the one that knows everything, right? Did somebody say God was all-knowing? I don't know if they did, but he is. Amen. It's funny how in the world we condemn a know-it-all, but God really does know it all. And he carries him humbly, meekly. And he said, we know he knows it all, but if we ask him, he'll just let us know. But the Father educates his children. He says, here. And then he says, of his fullness, have we all received grace, received, and grace for grace. You know what every parent really, if they love their children at all, you want your children to have a full life, a life that matters. And you want them to prepare in such a way. And God is instructing us here, and he tells us through his Son that we've all received fullness. And of his fullness have all we received. But and it's grace. The fullest thing you ever have in life is grace. Because grace handles every weakness, every insufficient thing we have. Because if there's grace in every situation, we're saved by grace. That's why eternal life, that's why salvation is eternal life. Because for grace really to be grace, it has to be eternal. Because if it's not eternal, it's conditional. And then if it's conditional, then it's no longer be grace. Because the moment we're saved through grace, we're kept by grace. That means we're kept by His merits and not our own. Then we could, if we weren't saved by grace, we could continue on next number of years with this shadow over our back that I've got to do enough, to ever do enough, to ever do enough. No, do you know why I'm God's child? Because of His grace. And you know why I'm still God's child after almost 23 years? And many of them not being perfect because of His grace. I didn't keep me saved. He keeps me saved. And of His fullness have we all received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now he's trying to let us know, remember, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It says that in Galatians. Okay, so God's trying to teach us. Okay. Anybody like, how many people like people being graceful to you? Amen. So we should be graceful to others. So that instruction comes by Jesus Christ. So the Father educates His Son, the way you'll really only be like me is through the Lord Jesus Christ, by which comes grace and truth. But you know, and it tells us here, now, we all have received His fullness. Now, I think this is pretty good if you catch this in verse 16. Of His fullness have all we received. All we have received is of His fullness. And we really are, if you're a born-again person, you really are a lot more than you may think of yourself. Now, I was telling the young couple I was talking to when I was in South Dakota. We were talking about the new life in Christ, and I said, what most people do is like this. I said, my children bought me a stereo for Christmas and to put in the car. And you know what? That stereo, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's new. But you know what the problem is? I operate the new stereo based on my knowledge of the old stereo. And because the guy told me when he installed it in the car, he said, you better read the book. I can operate the new stereo, and there are some things I can do with it, but there's many things that I really can't do. You know why? Because I'm operating the new stereo based on what I know of the old stereo, and little by little I'm learning some things. I know more things about it now than I did at the beginning. But you know how much quicker I could have learned so much more if I just opened the book and look at how much easier and how much more I could probably do with the new stereo. And because beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's new. You can take one. It's new, period. And if you're born again, you're a new creature in Christ, period. But many of us struggle, and we determine, you know how I operate the new stereo? By trial and error. And that's the way many new believers operate their Christian, by trial and error. And you know, I don't have to. You know, I could have just opened the book and said, how do you turn this thing on? how do you change the channel? I said, oh, well, try this button, try that button. Boom, boom, boom. Try this, try that, try that, try that. Oh, I'm going to hit that car. You shouldn't do that while you're driving, by the way. But all these things, and how much simpler I could have just, all I had to do is take the time, take a day, go sit in the car with the book, follow the instructions of the guy, number one, to put the thing in. You know, this guy installs me. If the installer tells you to read the book, you should probably read the book. But there again, my dad was right. I learned things the hard way. But I try to deal with the Christian life. I'm trying to read the book. And I'm amazed at how simple. You know what? You know why I'm convinced the Christian life is simpler than it ever has been? Because I just read the book. And I stay in the book. You know, I've listened to other people's opinion about the book for years. And you need to hear preaching. But you know what? You know what I hope this preaching will do? I hope it'll take you to the book. Because it's not enough for you just to hear what I say. But when you actually look in the book, you look, wow. So-and-so said something, but I really can do this through Christ. And if I read the book, I see somebody else that said this about the Christian life, and I see the way they're living, but you know, the book didn't say that, you know. You know, we just heard about the Father is full of grace and truth. Guess what? A lot of professing believers don't have any a drop of grace in their life. But you know, I'm not going to abandon grace because the book says it's there. It works in the book. And guess what? Because it's in the book, I'm even going to show grace to those that don't have grace in their life. Because it's in the book. Because I'm not supposed to operate this new life by the old man. And you know what? Again, every area in life is an opportunity to do something. So the Father educates his son. You know why? Because he wants his children to have a full life. Isn't it sad when you think about it? Okay, we started by saying you're born of God. And that's good news. That those who will be born of God with such a royal heritage would live like begging paupers. You know, it's amazing. Everybody ought to take the time to read Fox's book, The Martyr sometime. And you see the way people that believed in God died. It's hard that their lives were taken, but those people died in power. I love. I told you about this about Polycarp, man. when he was burning, they couldn't burn him. They kept trying to. They set him on fire, and he just wouldn't burn. And finally, I think it was some miracle that happened. And finally, they just wouldn't kill him. So with a sword or something. And it was and some of the martyrs that he's going to be burned in the stake. And they said, "How do we know we can handle it when you get there?" And he said, "When I raise my hand in the midst of the fire, then you'll know that the grace of God is sufficient." And here's the guy being burned alive, and he raises his hand in victory. I mean, the Christian life is a powerful life. I mean, because you got to realize Jesus said, "No man taketh my life from me." And no other true believer, we don't have to represent God. We don't have to believe on the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We don't even have to take a stand for his name. So if I end up my life being taken as a martyr, it's because I laid it down by saying I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe his name above every name. And no man takes my life from me. I lay it down for him because I have life because of him. And but that's the fullness. Because people that really believe in his name receive the fullness from his grace. Last of all, number four, the purpose of sons. Jesus Christ, again, always a perfect example of everything. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, nobody's seen God. My neighbor at the window over there kept telling me he was God. No, actually, well, he said he was Jesus Christ. He was on something, but he just, you know, him. He said, "I know your name, of course, you just, anyway, I'm going to go into him, but pray for my neighbors, but they need to be born again." But no man has seen God at any time. And Jesus set the example. You know what Jesus did? He declared him. And he declared him by saying, as he, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he walked around and he said, "Here's some grace. I'm grace. And then here, I'm the truth." And our purpose comes by, we should declare him. We should declare the grace of God. Declare His truth. Because when we declare the grace of God, someone will say, "Man, why are you like that?" Well, because the truth is, because grace and truth, they ride together. Grace is fueled by truth. And truth is properly ministered through grace. But you take truth without grace, it's not a good combination. but truth is, when truth is tempered by grace, it always has the right effect. And that was and that brings us in every situation, because you know why we always have meaning, we always have purpose in that? Because when we're declaring Him, the world apart from God, they really have no life. And the child of God brings life into every situation because Jesus is life. I mean, isn't it amazing? You know, when you look back one day, if you serve God, the things you thought, man, you just really had to have, and you realize you just needed Jesus. I think of things in my life that I thought, man, if I just had this, just had that, or if so-and-so would just do this, or so-and-so wouldn't be like that, and then my life would be cake. But can I tell you my life is cake right now? Because I just get to declare Him. I get to declare Him here. I get to declare Him everywhere, you know. And I was talking to I told the preacher at the meeting I went to, you know, because preachers want to preach, you know. But I said, I just want you to know. I said, when I go to a meeting, I'm perfectly content to help the meeting from either side of the pulpit. I don't have to be seen. I can be heard. And God sent me there to minister to a couple. And it was the greatest time of my life. In fact, I got to preach longer to them than I would have got to, if I'd been behind the pulpit anyway. I got to get an hour and some message in, you know, and they just ate it all up. It was a blessing, you know. And I love people because God loves me. And you know how easier it is, and how much purpose we have. We really realize we are the life, and we're the light in the darkness. That neighbor you wish to just move out of your neighborhood. No, God sent them there for you to reach. That, I'll just put it like this, that chalkboard person in your life. Y'all know what I'm talking about? God said, that's right, class is in session. That's the one I chose you to love. That's the one I chose for you to show me to. And you know, does that mean they're going to repent and believe on Christ? Does that mean they're going to change? No. Not necessarily, but I mean God will be happy with you. And you always have purpose. And I tell you, there's no better life than to actually be a son of grace. Number one, because to be born, it comes by grace. He said, but as many as received Him, He gave me the power to become the sons of God. It's a blessing to be saved by the grace of God. You know, and I've been around long enough to know that man, Reiner Harper is not near as good as he thought he was. And man, oh man. But you know what I also know? God does not want me to live my life beating myself over the head about how bad Reiner Harper is. He wants me to live in joy and exaltation of who He is, and the fact that I'm His. And He wants me to glory in the fact that I'm His. And the more I get to know Him, and the more I glory in Him, my life is just enamored with Him. And it's like the greater the light is, you actually kind of forget how bad your own darkness is. You know, I think often in life, we've always tried to do it the other way, keep ourselves a great reminder of how bad we are, so we'll keep God in the right perspective. No, if you just realize how good He is, and you just keep looking that direction, then wherever He goes, you move. He moves that way, you move this way, you move whatever. And then, but instead, we just, people still living on something happened in their life 10, 15 years ago. I mean, for years, I used to even beat myself up over bad decisions. And I hate people that I've hurt and things in the past, but once I've been forgiven, I can pray for those that I hurt and ask God to have mercy on them, and that the things I did to them would not hurt, no longer hurt them. But I have a purpose for God now in the light of Jesus Christ in my life. As I look to Him, allows me, with everything bad that's in me still, that He says, look to me, and He said, follow me. And as I follow Him, it's hard to follow Him if I'm looking at me all the time. But as I look to Jesus and I follow Him, His example, His word, His ways, His works, and everything is just, there's always a purpose. You know what I find out? I have many more fulfilling days than I've ever had. Now, I may be a sinner saved by grace, but better than a sinner saved by grace, I'm a son of God. And that's what God wants me to glory in. And if I really glory in the right perspective, see, that's not an arrogant statement. That recognizing, because if I received Him, I received it by grace. Truly embracing the fact that I'm a son of God is just by the grace of God. And the magnitude of that grace is built on the supernatural magnitude of God's love. And my worth, my being, is not established by what I've done or what I need to do, but it's established by what He's done. And that He just, He said, "You're mine, come here." And you know, that's why, and Satan really don't want you to know that. Because if everybody really believed that, you'll try to reach a lot more people. Because that's a pretty good relationship, isn't it? Isn't that a pretty good deal? That God said, "Your sin to remove part east is from the west. I love you not as my child. I don't love you based on what you do for me. I love you because I am love itself. And I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And David said like this, "If I make my bed in hell," He said, "thou art with me." I mean, God is loyal and committed to His children. And in no circumstance did He desert us. That's a pretty good father to have. And the fact that He's almighty and He's everything under the sun, He owns everything, He rules everything, He reigns everywhere. Man, if God's people really knew that, man, everybody has to know Him. But we have to receive His education. Fullness comes in the one who is full, life itself. How about your purpose? Would you follow in Christ's purpose today? No man's seen God. You know what? No, we do mostly in religion. Unfortunately, and I'm still an independent Baptist, but a lot of what we've done in religion, we've gone on determine. We spent our life ambition to determine who's not God. And we spent our life ambition to determine who's not like God. That's why so many people are bitter. They say, "Oh, you're not like God. You're not like God. You're not like God. That group's not like God. That group's not like God." And Jesus says, "Well, would you show somebody where I am? Would you show somebody where I am? And if you're born again today, Jesus would have you. He said, would you just show somebody where I am?" But would anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but would anybody just say to God, say, "Yes, Father, no man's seen you. Here's the invitation right now. If you're a child of God, you're, Father, I realize no man see you, but I'm determined by your grace to be the one to which they see you through. I'm going to declare you. I'm going to declare you with my life. I'm going to declare you with my love. I'm going to declare you with my whole being. Because I realize nobody's seen you. And I realize that maybe, it doesn't matter. Lord, it doesn't matter where you're not seen. But here, I know no man's seen you, but here, with your help, you'll be seen in me. Father, we thank you for time in the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for loving us so much to bring us here to be under the sound of the Word of God today. And Lord, you know how you brought this message to me, so I just have to thank you for your grace. And Lord, I thank you for speaking to my heart. God, I just thank you for the mercy you've had on me so many years as a Pharisee, and just so many years of such a condemning spirit. And God, I thank you for the sincere and legitimate hope that I have in every single person in this room. And I'm even thankful for the hope that I have myself, Lord. Because there's times, you know, Lord, I didn't even have any hope in me. But thank you, Father, for just being the Father that you are. And God, would you just minister yourself to every believer here today? And would you, if anybody is lost here today, would you just please let them touch their heart to where they realize you're just too incredibly good to pass up. And that you're just too incredibly good to live another day without you as their Father. Would you save somebody today, Lord? Touch somebody's heart and that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. And Father, would you touch those of us that are your children to where we would sincerely
embrace the glorious, marvelous fact and privilege of what it truly means to be a son of grace.